Welcome to the Trailblazing Texas podcast, where we embark on a journey through our diverse Texas landscapes and breathtaking trails while always engaging with our amazing Texas hiking community. So settle in, tighten up those bootlaces, and get ready for the thrilling tales awaiting for you on this episode.
Was the two 5,400 gallon tanks, but they were like another mile off of our route. So it was like, okay, do we keep going off our route?
Oh man.
With no guarantee of water, or do we go down here to Devil's Den Spring, which I think Joe touched on that.
And did you know water was going to be there?
There was no guarantee there would be water there. but I will say, Joe made it sound like there was just a little puddle. There were several pools along that canyon. And, you know, thank God for the Sawyer filter. It was nice, clean, crisp water. And it turned out to be the highlight of the trip was hiking through Devil's Den Canyon.
Yeah.
Devil's Den was, it was amazing. And the Forest Service maps that we were following, they showed a trail through Devil's Den Canyon, and it was dead on. You know, we'd come around a corner in the canyon and boom, there's a cairn. All right, we're on trail.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of it where we got cliffed out, it was like, there's no trail here. I mean, if there was, it's been washed away. And like I say, and I think he touched on that. It got so sketchy. It was like, no, this is courting death.
Do you think, like, going forward that you would be able to make contact with those ranchers to see, like, when's the last time they flowed water out to the?
You could probably, I mean, because it's all public information who owns the land and everything. Yeah. You could probably get in touch with somebody. I still have a little bit of trepidation about that. Because that first time I through hiked the GRT with Cameron, yeah. I had gone out a week before and cached water in several locations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was three locations that I cached water. When he and I hiked the trail, two of those caches were missing. Somebody had either taken the jugs of water or poured out the jugs of water. So we were... Well, what do? We're out of water. You know, I had water sitting right here and it's gone. You know, we lucked out. We were okay. The cattle tanks had water in them, but I don't know if it's because I didn't hide the caches well enough or if somebody just out of meanness was, you know, because it was written on there.
Yeah.
Hiker water, please do not disturb, you know, with the dates on it.
Yeah.
And it was gone.
But that's not public land. It's just
no. It's public.
I mean, it's public land. Yeah, it's not public private. Land. It's not private land where somebody right. would be offended that.
Yeah, you know it. Wow. So it makes me. You know, I've never spoken to any of the ranchers. I don't know. You know, and it didn't have to be the ranchers. There's people that go up there with their ATVs, and there's other hikers. You know, yeah. There's people that go up there just for the weekend to camp out.
Yeah.
But it was just really upsetting that somebody would in this dry desert environment would steal or, you know, otherwise remove this hiker water.
Yeah. And it's probably the same people that we're picking up their trash too.
Yep.
At the trailheads and
well, the same people that threw their trash in the bear box.
Yeah. Man. So all of them were gone.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, all but one.
So what do you do? swallow spit.
We rationed our water for the day that we had. You know, we were planning on getting to camp, and I think Cameron had a meal planned of a big soup or something. You know, that required, you know, 2 cups of water.
Right.
Well, we wound up having to, you know, make ramen noodles or something that didn't take a whole lot. I think I wound up eating bars, which is what I usually wind up eating on trail anyway. Jeez. But it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot worse.
Wow. So what's your other memorable hike?
Caprock Canyon Trailway.
So what is that? Tell me about that. I've kind of researched it and I've hiked almost all of Caprock, but I see that like driving to Caprock, there's an entry point for the trailway. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's a rail to trail. It used to be, I can't remember the name of the railroad, mm-hmm. but there was a railroad through there that fed all those little towns like Turkey and Estelin and all those.
Right.
That when it was dismantled, the state took over the railroad bed. I mean, so I want to say it's 200 feet on either side of the center line of that old railroad bed is state property, state park property. And then outside of that is cotton fields and soybeans, you know, it's private property.
Yeah.
So it's a 64-mile point-to-point trail. It's railroad, so it's flat as flat can be. But it turned out to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I had never hiked in that sort of environment before. I hiked it west to east, and I started off going through cotton fields, you know, just open prairie. You know, it was really neat. And then it kind of spills out into the canyons, you know, the Caprock Canyon.
Right.
And I think it's mile 12 going eastbound, you go through Clarity Tunnel, which is the old railway tunnel, which is full of Mexican bats, which if I had been there at night, that would have been pretty cool to see the bats exiting the cave.
Yeah.
But I did the whole 64 miles in 2 days.
Oh,
I did two 32-mile days.
Yeah.
And that's also one of my hardest hikes ever, not because of, you know, oh, it's just hard trail. No, it's an easy trail to walk. It's just I did 32 miles.
Yeah.
No shade. It's all open, beat down by the sun.
And so it was all a water carry then.
That's one good thing about it. There are several places along the trail where there's a road that crosses it where you can drop off water.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. I think I carried 4 liters every day. Just because I knew I did it in November.
Yeah.
So the temps were nice. It was nice and cool, but the sun.
Yeah.
You're
at Guadalupe Mountains and, you know, it's February, it's 23 degrees and there's not a cloud in the sky and sun is still cooking you.
Yeah. Don't ever underestimate what that sun will do.
Yeah.
You know, if I stopped on the trail to take a break, I would start getting cold because it was so chilly.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to get up and get moving. But yeah, there's plenty of places to drop off water. It's a cool hike.
Is it worth it, you say?
I want to do it again, but I want to do it again just to say that I did it in 24 hours.
Okay.
I want to do 64 miles in a 24-hour period.
So my next challenge is a 40-mile day.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready, you let me know.
All right. All right.
You know, I did Eagle Rock Loop in 11 hours.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I did Caprock Trailway in 2 days. Those are the kind of challenges I like to set for myself.
Yeah.
For but sure. the thing that really made Caprock memorable, I got up there the night before, I dropped my water caches off. I went to the trailhead, slept in the car, you know, shout out Subaru Crosstrek.
Yeah.
And, the next morning, my alarm went off. I rolled over, hit snooze, went back to sleep. Shouldn't have done that. I burned an hour of daylight.
Yep.
So I finally get up. I start walking. Looking at my pace, I'm keeping up. You know, I think I averaged 3.5 miles an hour for the whole thing.
Oh my gosh.
but I'm looking. Of course, I don't know. I think you do the same thing. You get on the trail. Okay, I've been hiking this far for this long. I should be here.
Yep.
Well, I'm not going to be able to make it to my stopping point without hiking at night.
Yeah.
So I'm doing what I can do. You know, I can't run, you know, that's going to kill me. So sure enough, I wound up hiking in the dark for about 2 hours. And as the sun is setting, it's old railroad, so you can see 3-4 miles ahead of you. I start seeing these black dots crossing the trail. And I'm like, was that a cow? You know, what was that?
Yeah.
Well, as it got darker and darker, those black dots started crossing the trail closer and closer to me. And eventually it was like within the beam of my headlight, that was a hog just ran across the trail.
Oh, no.
There was another hog just ran across the trail.
Nope.
Jason, when I tell you that's the most scared I've ever been in my life, I read a Reddit post about somebody that had a run-in with a hog on the trail.
Yep.
So
on that trail.
Yeah, on that trail, on the trailway. Okay. I never hike with a firearm, but I brought my pistol with me on this trail just because of what I had read. After those hogs started running across the trail right there beside where I was walking, I stopped, dug my pistol out of my pack, and I hiked those last 2 miles in the dark with my pistol in my hand. I got to Turkey, which was my midpoint for the day. It was around mile 32 or 33. At the trailhead, I found me a little spot to camp. They had just mowed, so there was no smooth place to camp. There were just big clumps of grass.
You're right.
So I just cowboy camped in the middle of the trail.
Oh, nope.
I cowboy camp a lot. It doesn't really bother me. But, I don't know, it was 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I got woken up by some thunder. So I pull up my phone, and I'm looking at the weather. And sure enough, there's a big blob of red moving towards Turkey. I was like, oh, man, there's going to be a thunderstorm. What am I going to do? So I start packing my stuff up. Okay, I'll walk into Turkey and I'll find a place to get out of the rain.
Right.
So as I'm doing that, I hear something. I turn around and look behind me. Not 50 feet away, a big boar hog runs across the trail.
Oh, no.
So I packed up my stuff, walked into Turkey, and just like a homeless person would do, I found me a nice little shed out of the way and spent the night on the side of the road in the town of Turkey, Texas.
So when you were packing up, could you see the town like off in the distance, the lights and stuff?
Well, Turkey is so small. I don't think there are any lights other than the main drag through town.
Yeah.
But dude, I'm not exaggerating when I say it's only like 2 blocks from the trailhead to the main downtown Turkey.
Okay.
And I was having hogs walking through camp that close to town.
Jeez.
It was unnerving. It really was.
I have 2 phobias in life. One of them, and it's all because the majority of my hiking, like we were talking about, is on the Lone Star Hiking Trail. And usually I start really early in the morning, are ticks and hogs. And I've only once, and I've hiked on the Lone Star Hiking Trail, I don't know, since 2019, I guess, you know, pretty regularly, where I run into a bunch of hogs, and man, I've never been scared, you know, like that before. And yes, 99% of the time, they're probably going to run, but you catch a female surprise with some babies.
Yeah.
You know, you're in trouble.
Yep. I mean, I was hiking on the Ouachita Trail one day. It was getting close to dark. And, you know, you're walking down the trail. Your mind is just, you're focused on that step, step, step. You know, that's all you're hearing. And all of a sudden, it sounded like a bomb went off next to me. A black bear jumped out of the tree when he saw me, scared him to death. Scared him, scared me. He took off one way. I took off down the trail the other way.
Yeah.
That didn't scare me.
Yeah.
Those hogs, they had no fear.
No, absolutely not. And like I've been on in Big Bend and stumbled across a female black bear with my son. She looked at us and like gave 2 shits, like, you know, and she had cubs. She didn't care. Now I'm not saying that that's normal, but like she, you know, she's used to people, and she didn't care. But man, a hog,
These were that bold, that yes. close to town. That's what yes. that's what worried me.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's one of my more memorable hiking experiences.
And that's
But that said, I do want to do the trailway again. I want to try to do the whole thing in a 24-hour period, which will require some hiking at night. That's why I want to do it with somebody.
Yeah, and also, like, you would think it would be pretty feasible because, like, it's you're pretty much, you know, you got a kind of like a day pack almost yeah. with just maybe a little bit of water. So you should be able to move fairly quickly.
Pretty quick. And
I have a question about Caprock. And the rangers at Caprock refused to answer. So when you get to Caprock and you're looking at kind of the map, it's on the east part of the park. I don't remember the trail, but there's like a flat trail. And as you're walking on the easternmost part of the trail, there's a canyon. And I see trails down in that canyon, but it's not part of the park's map. And I asked them, like, how do you drop down into those canyons? And I'll email you the trail name and kind of what's beside it. But I want to get down in there, and they wouldn't answer me.
Wouldn't.
And so, but it's spectacular, you know. And that was a section that, and you could see trails. And I thought it was that trailway, but I don't think maybe it kind of goes through there. But
the state park proper is a little bit north of the trailway. You actually have to drive
from the
trailway up to the park.
Okay, so it doesn't intersect it at all.
No, it doesn't intersect at all.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely shoot you an email with the letter and that little section of the map because it's absolutely spectacular. Probably, if you look at Caprock as a whole, it's probably the most spectacular. And it's not part of their trailway. So
yeah, I that was my one visit to Caprock. You know, I did the 2 days, and my buddy Ben came and picked me up at the end, and then we spent the night at Caprock at one of the campsites. And that's been my only, exposure to Caprock Canyon State Park. And I was what I did see, I was blown away. I loved it.
No, it's my favorite state park. Well, Lost Maples is a close first or second, but yeah, I'm a Caprock person for sure. So I have a kind of, I guess, maybe talking to new hikers and backpackers and that are into just the beauty of Texas. What are some of your most breathtaking views and that you've encountered while hiking in Texas? Like what are some places that somebody needs to go if they're into that type of thing?
I'll tell you the first thing that jumps in my head
mm-hmm.
when I did the Outer Mountain Loop, I had camped the night before at SW3, mm-hmm. which is not quite up on the rim. I think it's 3/4 of a mile from the rim.
Yeah.
And I got up the next morning and started hiking over to the rim, and I caught it just as the sun was coming up. The clouds were covering all of the desert all the way over to Mexico. You could see the tops of like Elephant Tusk, and some of the peaks down in the desert were peeking out over the clouds.
Right.
It was just, it was an ocean of clouds out in the desert. It was so cool. And then the sun coming up over that desert landscape, it was breathtaking.
Yeah.
But by the same token, the first time I did the GRT with Cameron, I mean, I don't know if you know Cameron, but he knows every trail out at Guad, every campsite. He's camped at every one of them. He's a walking encyclopedia of Guadalupe Mountains. When we were coming up McKittrick past the notch, I hadn't done it before,
mm-hmm.
and he would stop and look at me.
Yep.
He would stop and look at me to see what my response was. And once you get up past the notch, and
that little turn,
you see the full, just enormousness of McKittrick Canyon and those sheer, what, 1,000-foot cliff faces that look like this could be Vietnam. You know, oh man, boy, what are you talking about?
Hey, the same.
The first time I saw that was just, you know, I had to pick my jaw up off the trail.
That same thing happened to us. So Sam, he's in New Mexico, so he sees, and he's hiked the majority of the PCT, so he's seen beauty like the Washington, northern, the High Sierras, and then Henning is an avid hiker. And he's been all over the world through the military. He's seen some spectacular things. Of course, they're, you know, they're in their 30s. So they get kids. They get to the notch way before me. And both of them had stopped. And I was like hiking up to them. And then I kind of stopped when I got to them. They, no, keep walking. You have to see this. And it was going through the notch and just, you know, making that left turn and just, how it just dumps out into that canyon. Yes. And that, I don't know. And you could probably argue the case that that's probably one of the prettiest areas in the state of Texas for sure.
Oh, if you picked somebody up that had never seen it before and just dropped them off right there, they wouldn't believe you. They wouldn't believe this isn't Texas. Yep. No, this isn't Texas.
Yep. Absolutely. I think for me, another place that, so I had a quest to do the highest 10 peaks in Texas. And I don't know if it's peak number 7 or, so it was Mount Livermore. So the Davis Mountain Preserves, you know, getting up in that area, I have some pictures that were just absolutely spectacular that again, that you would never think that you were in Texas. That's one area that's kind of not as common or people talk about that is well worth, you know, the trip. And it's just absolutely beautiful.
And that's one of the things I love about it. You have to work for that view.
Oh yeah.
you can't just drive your car up and walk over to the little vista point and take a picture.
Yeah.
You have to work for it.
Yep. Absolutely. And you have to do a little class 3 scrambling there. Yeah, that was an awesome hike. So what do you think are some common misconceptions about hiking in Texas that you'd like to debunk? I have one, and it's not so much hiking in Texas, but I see that question a lot, is that to hike, you have to have all this kind of like special gear, but also like you have to have hiking boots. Like I tell everybody that I talk to, I don't care. And I probably get some kickback on this, but I don't care if you have good ankles or bad ankles. I have hiking boots. If I step on a rock wrong, my ankle's going to twist. If I have trail runners or if I have tennis shoes or if I have a hiking boot, it's going to have a twist. Like you're going to not maybe sprain, but you're going to, so my thing is like, you don't need hiking boots. No. Now, if you're going off trail at Guad or Big Bend, yeah, you probably should have a hiking boot. But 99.9% of the stuff that you're going to be doing, just have a comfortable tennis shoe or a trail runner.
A good trail runner with a rock plate if you can find it.
Yes.
I mean, I swear by my Brooks Cascadias because they fit me, which is one of the most important things I can say to anybody getting started. Find footwear that fits. Don't buy the ultra lone peaks just because that's what the thru hikers on YouTube are using.
Yeah.
Find something that works for your foot.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, your ankle is going to twist a little bit. Hike more and strengthen those muscles and tendons. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not, this is not medical advice, but yeah, I mean, toughen up.
Yeah. Yeah. So outside of that, what do you think that you would like to debunk to our new hikers and backpackers listening?
What to debunk about Texas hiking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know as well as I do, Texas has mountains. Yes. And you'll hear the people that are like, oh, those can't compare to Colorado 14ers. Those can't compare to the Sierra Nevada. Well, they compare in a different way.
Yep.
There's a brutal beauty to the Quads and to Big Bend and to that desert hiking like that. If you'll stop and, you know, Joe's great about this. He'll stop and take pictures of the smallest little flower growing out of this rocky, just beat your feet up terrain.
Yeah.
that little cactus over there with those little bitty blooms on it.
Yeah.
There's beauty even in this brutal, harsh environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when people tell you Texas doesn't have mountains or Texas mountains aren't pretty, you're just not looking close enough.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I take a lot of pictures, too, just because I'm tired and I can use that as an excuse to rest. All right. So let's say I meet you on the trail. What are some of the essential? So like kind of like what are some of the essential items that you always carry? Maybe let's just. I don't know if you want to go backpacking and day, you know, hiking day pack. What are some of you're not going to leave home without them items?
I mean, it sounds cliche, but multiple forms of navigation. Yeah, I've got the map on my phone. I've got the map on my phone. That's the easiest thing. If my phone battery dies, I've got it on my watch. You know, I rock a Garmin Fenix, and that's one of my favorite pieces of gear because it tells me how fast I'm going, tells me where I'm going, tells me what my heart rate is so I can tell if I need to slow down before I have a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I'll print out, if it's an area I'm not familiar with, I'll print out a paper map. Even my little Camelback day pack has one of those little clip-on compasses, you know, the ones that are about as big as your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do happen to get off trail, I know which way is north, which way is south. I've got a leg up for extricating myself, you know?
Yeah.
So having some form of navigation, it can't be overlooked.
Well, think about it. Like, on the Lone Star hiking trail, a lot of the trail is wet, you know, if it's rained, or even if it's hasn't rained a week but it rained before, you drop your phone in the water.
Yeah.
You know, like, and yes, okay, you can, it's flat, you can just turn around, but like the point of it is you never know what can happen. And to me, you can't have enough maps electronically and paper wise. You know, like
navigation out at, say, Quads, you always know the peak is that way because it gets higher as you go south.
Yeah.
Well, let's say you're on the Lone Star and you're surrounded by pine trees. You need something to give you a bearing.
Yeah.
You know, so even, like I say, even that little compass that's just clipped on your shoulder strap that doesn't weigh anything.
Mm-hmm.
That can be the difference right there to get you going the right direction.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, I, not cause I have some kind of like sick whatever, but I have tons of books on people hiking and backpacking that have died, and they've journaled. Okay. And you learn so much. And I try to learn, like, what mistakes did they make? What gear did they not have that they should have had? You know, so, yeah, I mean, like map is a paper map, maps on your phone off where you can access it offline versus only online. I mean, these things are worth the time and the investment.
That's a good point. Maps that you can access while you're offline. Cell signal is non-existent down in that 2000 foot canyon.
Absolutely.
You know, And what does it take before you leave the house? Click download and download the map.
Yep.
You're done. And know how to use it. I think you touched on that before. Yeah. Know how to use it.
Yeah. What else you got?
I never leave without my titanium spoon.
You know, it's funny you say that. I just bent over.
I've got the one with the polished bowl because I don't like the texture on my teeth of the other one.
Yeah.
But, I was hiking on the Ouachita one time, got to the shelter, went to make dinner, couldn't find my spoon. I'm walking around out in the woods with a little pocket knife trying to find the perfect piece of wood to whittle my own spoon. Yeah, that was a bad night.
I have two things to this. So, you know who's making me a cover for this?
Who that is? Joe Williams?
Yeah, so he's putting together a prototype for spoons. Nice. I asked him to make me one. And then also, I've made a video, and we've talked. You need to look this up. It's called Trail Brush.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, and it's
I do not have one yet.
It's a little toothbrush that fits on, and he's going to be on his name is Andrew. He's going to be on the podcast. So sent him questions. And
that the most clever thing you ever saw or what?
It is the most clever thing. And I've used it. I even made a video of me using it here, you know, brushing my teeth. I love it. No, it's spectacular.
That's awesome. But yeah, that's really the only other thing that I never leave home without, because I want to be able to eat when I get to camp at night. You lose your spoon one time and it kind of, well, at least for me, it sticks with me.
Absolutely. And that's kind of like one of those pieces of gear. Like, you know, like let's say I'm at the Quads, we have Pine Spring as a base camp and we're heading out. We could either be camping somewhere or day hiking. Like I usually bring those tuna fish packs or something, and I'll always not bring a spoon. And so, you know, I'm using a knife and scooping it out,
right?
Stabbing myself.
Like I say, I'm walking in around the woods in the dark, looking for the perfect stick to whittle into a spoon.
Yep. Absolutely. So what are some, I mean, with all the experience you have, you got to have some funny or unexpected moments while during a hiking trip.
I don't know about funny. I mean, there's been several unexpected moments, you know. We talked about the pigs on Cap Rock. That was unexpected. My buddy crawling down the Lone Star Trail. That it's funny now in hindsight.
And, so has he hiked with you since?
Nope. He gave it up. He asked me one time after I got back from the Quads, you know, would that be a good place for me and my wife to go? I was like, yeah. And they went out, stayed at Pine Springs, and he knew better than to try any of the big elevation climbs, but they did Devil's Hall, and he sent me a picture. You know, when you do Devil's Hall, you get to the steps going up to that big pool of water.
Right. I call it Dragon's Eye.
Yeah. He sent me a picture of him laid out on the ground, sprawled out. You know, I'll never take your word for anything again.
What? did he know that wasn't Devil's Hall?
I don't think he did.
Yeah. So he's we did it. Yeah, you got a little bit further to go.
You got a little further to go, buddy.
Oh man. So anything else? Like there's gotta be one funny Joe story.
Oh God.
So we've heard the panic moments, the running out of water and the.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's been anything. I mean, the stuff with Joe, I mean, I could tell you how he got the trail name Pine Frog.
Let's hear it.
Was up on the Centennial, and you know, I don't care if he doesn't want me to tell this or not. And you know, he told you how he kind of was dragging up the rear every day.
Right.
And we kept hearing these sounds. Man, what is that noise? Well, that was the Pine Frog chasing us through the woods. You know, he would break wind, so to speak. And I mean, what is that? Is it frogs off in the woods? And we decided that Joe was the Pine Frog that was chasing us through the woods because whatever he had eaten on the Centennial Trail, it was really funny.
I had that the first time we hiked on the Lone Star Hiking Trail, a guy that we were with, I won't name his name. But he had eaten something bad before we started. And like the first 2 days, it was I felt so I almost told him, like, you need to, like, the next trailhead, bail out, because, you know, you can't put in these miles and just be sick to your stomach constantly. But yeah, so
yeah, I don't think he was sick to his stomach, but he was jet propelled for about 20 miles.
So, but he was still in the back. He should have been ahead of y'all.
Right.
I'll have to ask him about that. So with all your experience and stuff, and you know, like, we always try to promote responsibility and hiking and backpacking, and also like bringing new people to the hobby that we love. What would be some advice that you would give to beginners that want to hike and backpack in Texas?
Get out there. Find your people. my best friends are people that I've met through backpacking and hiking. Yeah. And you never know until you get out there and meet them.
Right.
You know, I met Joe through Facebook. He had messaged me asking for some advice about the Guadalupe Ridge Trail. And, you know, he and Kyle were planning on doing it. And I think he had posted something about, does anybody know anything about this trail? And I was like, well, let me drop some knowledge on you, young sir.
Yeah.
And,
chapter one, here you go.
And turns out, you know, Joe is one of the people I would, you know, that's my desert island hiking buddy right there. If I go hiking with Joe, I'm going to go hiking with Joe.
Right.
But you never know until you get out and meet those people.
Right.
Don't be afraid to, you know, join a hiking club or something. You know, if people are willing to go out in the woods with you, man, go out and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, for me, the biggest thing that I try to get out to people is, we could sit here and come up with a bazillion reasons why not to go.
Yeah, right.
And let's just talk about day hiking. All you need to do is, you don't need anything to go walk.
Right.
Now, it's, you know, sometimes it's nice to have a day pack and to carry some water and, but just to get out and walk, you know, you don't need anything.
Well, and we're so lucky here in Texas. We've got mountains in West Texas. We've got prairies. We've got piney woods. We've got beaches. We've got the hill country. Get out there and find what you like to do.
Yeah.
Somebody will be willing to do it with you. And I'm a big, like, as much as I hate social media, it has been the source of me meeting, like I say, some of my best friends.
Absolutely. I don't know what it is, but, and I also find that in the climbing community. I don't do outdoor climbing yet, but of course I have all the gear too.
You got the gear, right?
Yeah, but the, you know, the people that you meet, and I don't, it's not even that it's a shared interest. It's, you know, like, you have something in common. It goes way beyond that. Like, it's just a spiritual thing of a connection. It's you can't explain it. It's not just because I like hiking and you like hiking. I don't know how to put it in words, but the connection is more than just that we like to do something together, you know, and maybe it's like what you were saying before, is that you're relying on each other, like the trust that you have to have with someone to go on a backpacking trip, knowing that you know that they've got your back and vice versa. I think maybe that's what it is.
Trail friends are the best friends.
Yeah, for sure.
If something, you know, God forbid, you know, I fall off a mountain and I can't get out, I know that this guy with me has got my back.
Did you hear that on the Henning episode about something kind of like that happened?
I'm sure I did. Remind me.
It's okay for them to leave me, right? Like, to be ahead of me. And so they were way ahead of me going up to McKittrick. But then on the way down, I was way ahead of them, and that's not acceptable, right? So I heard that you need to stay together. And I'm like, so like, you know, we stayed together when we were going up to the campsite, or we stayed together, like, what part are you talking about? So anyway, what happened was, is, you know, I'm rocking down and I'm like, I don't need my trekking poles. So I put them on top of my backpack. Well, I slipped. I went off, accidentally went off trail because it made a sharp right, and I went left and I stepped and I slipped. And there was some exposure, and you know, and I caught myself, and I'm like, oh crap. I didn't realize my trekking poles had fallen off. And so I, you know, just kept going. And so there's a big foot slide. I have one trekking pole in the bush there. And then as I'm hiking, another one falls like kind of lower than that one. So, you know, you kind of hit that switchback, and then I'm below. Well, when Henning and Sam got there, they saw that Henning, you know, he was a Marine sniper. So he likes to track and see footprints and stuff. So he saw my footprint that slid out. He saw where my butt.
Well, here's where Jason slid down the mountain.
Yes. And so, and they saw my trekking poles, and of course, you know, there's a panic, like, oh crap. And it's for sure a drop. And yeah. Anyway, so to make a really long story short, they were panicking, like, okay, what are we going to do? He marked the spot of where the stuff was. And you know, eventually they called out to me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm way down here. And but at the trailhead, you know, when we were finishing up, you know, why'd you leave us? And then it got to the whole thing. Well, you left me going.
You left
up.
Me.
Yeah. And then they say, well, this is what happened. Here's your trekking poles. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I left. I lost it. And but then it led into the discussion that, you know, we thought you had fallen off, and we saw where you slipped. And I'm like, how'd you know I slipped? And so Henning's like, yeah, because of this, 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 and this. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so that was, you know, I didn't really think about kind of like me losing the trekking poles and really not realizing that I did. And then kind of like what that could have kicked off. And so, yeah, it was a lessons learned.
Yeah. What if he had panicked and hit the SOS button, you know?
Yeah. And then that's one thing. So like the SOS, I was wearing it. But like when I hike with Henning, I always give, you know, he knows my cell phone password and how to operate the, through the, I think it's called Earthmate app, as well as directly on my the Garmin, the device itself. But yeah, that was some value. I didn't even think about me losing that, and then what the appearance and what they were thinking. So yeah, so now we have that. We try to stay together as much as possible.
It's hard to do sometimes, though, you know, especially if you know, if somebody's got a faster pace or a slower pace. I mean, I'm a fast hiker. It's hard for me to slow down and feel like I'm just sitting here. You know,
I'm a slow hiker, and because I like to take pictures, I like to experience it. And like, if I'm hiking fast, I'm already at the end, and I'm like, okay, like I didn't come here to already be at the end. I want to take the picture of the flower, like you were talking, like Joe, take a picture of the flower, of this and that. But yeah, I'm a slow hiker, maybe because I'm out of shape, or I just like to say, because I like to take pictures.
There you go. That's a good excuse. Good excuse.
So as we start to kind of wrap up, I think also I would like for you to give your opinions on just some, what you think are some family friendly hiking spots in Texas that, you know, you think like a new hiker backpacker would get a benefit from. They don't have to have all this gear and all this stuff, that just some, I don't know, little state parks and stuff that you think would be a benefit that would get somebody hooked.
The first one that pops in my head is Tyler State Park, which is just, you know, it's right down the road from me. They've got like 13 miles of trail. There's the lake where you can fish and swim and all that good stuff. I think that pops in my head because we spent so much time there as a kid.
Yeah.
But one of my other goals is to hike every trail at every state park in Texas. And one of the ones that jumps out to me is Mission Tejas. Mission Tejas was a really fun little state park.
I love that one. And I think it was in an earlier episode. What I liked about it, and especially for a new hiker backpacker, is you kind of feel cool because the trails aren't very long and you can piece them together. Like yes. You can start here and you can say, oh, we can catch this one, drop down to this one, do this, that. And you're kind of like reading a map and you're kind of like, you know.
Yeah. Like Tyler State Park's a great little park,
yeah,
but they don't allow quote unquote backcountry camping. You have to camp in the car camping areas.
Mm-hmm.
But Mission Tejas, you can camp out in the woods. I mean, yep. Yes, they're specific sites, but they're not right by your car. You have to hike in to get to them.
Yep.
There's a couple of other ones that they're not popping in my head right now that allow you to do that as well. Lake Bob Sandlin has some backcountry camping. And I think that would be perfect for anybody that's, man, I want to go backpacking, but I don't want to go, you know, out in the wilderness where there's mountain lions and bears and, you know, well, here's this little state park where you can hike, you know, 2 or 3 miles away from your car, set up. And if you like it, well, the next day hike a few miles to the next spot, you know, just check it out. See if it, you know, makes you happy.
So do you still do gear shakedowns with your gear before trips, or you pretty much have it all dialed in where
I've pretty much got my kit dialed.
Yeah.
You know, I went yesterday to my buddy Ben's house. I was telling you earlier. And he's still trying to get his stuff dialed in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, lighterpack.com, go in here, weigh your stuff and see what you're actually carrying on your back.
Yeah.
You know, and do you think that 5-pound first aid kit is something you really need? You know, that's an awful lot of stuff, dude. You know, just be aware of what you're actually carrying.
Yeah. And
that's free, you know, lighter pack is free.
Yeah.
And it'll let you actually see with your own eyes when you look at that pie chart and you're like, oh my gosh, half of what I'm carrying is stuff that I don't really need.
And do you make note of that after each trip of what you took and what you didn't need?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then I guess always kind of evolving.
Yeah. I've taken item X 6 times and it's never been out of the pack.
Yeah.
I'm leaving it at home.
Yep. 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 And kind of like going into gear, what is one piece of gear that you would recommend to a new hiker backpacker?
I think we touched on it early in the episode. Shoes.
Yeah.
Shoes that fit. That comedic first trip of mine on the Lone Star Trail, I was wearing boots. I'll never wear boots again. I have found the shoe that works for me, and it's made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I used to struggle with plantar fasciitis. I've got shoes now that it's not an issue anymore. Shoes.
Yeah. I think for me, it's getting used to using a map. So always taking a map. And then also, well, I guess that's more safety, but the Trekker Joe's water bottle sleeve holder.
Shout out thing, Trekker Joe.
Yeah, that thing is.
Joe's going to have to start paying us.
Hey, you know how many TikTok videos I have about Trekker Joe's?
Hey, I can't complain.
Yeah.
The first trip that Joe and I ever went on together out there to the quads, he brought me a water bottle sleeve holder. And I thought, oh, man, cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I'm never going to use this. Mm-hmm. And then I used it and I'm like, can I get another one of those?
You know, I have like 6 and like, so now his, you know, he writes the personal letter, him and his wife will write, you know, the personal letter on all orders. And now it's just like, oh my God, another one. Like, thank you. Yeah, that's probably one piece of gear that are you a gram counter? Like pack weight matter to you?
Well, I'm no spring chicken. Yep. You know, I can't be carrying those big loads anymore. Yep. I've got my kit dialed in. You know, I'm not stupid light. You know, I still take a rain jacket.
Yeah.
But yeah, I count every little bit.
All right. So here's a question where we could get some hate, depending on how you answer it. Are you a camp chair guy that you're going to bring on a backpacking trip and a pillow or no?
Nope. I don't carry a chair. And 9 times out of 10, I don't bring a pillow. No. I'll just use my clothes bag with a buff stretched over it. And that's my pillow.
Oh, I'm a pillow. I have two camp chairs, you know, like I don't remember the brand, but the high back and the low back. And it's like, I think they're like 16 ounces, but oh, I love that sucker.
at the end of the day, after you banged out that 30 mile day,
that usually ground, it's dark and you're just going to bed anyway, right?
It doesn't matter how rocky that ground is. It feels good to lay down.
Oh, man. All right. So last question, as we kind of, again, start to wrap this up. For any new hiker, backpacker, what is one piece of safety advice that you'd give them? And just kind of thinking like, you know, every time we step on the trail, like, I know we take it for granted, but you know, like you could really, even if it's maybe just a neighborhood hike, like, you know, through like the local little neighborhood trails. I mean, you should never take it for granted. Like, you know, snake bite, I don't know what all could happen, but you know, stuff happens all the time that we read about. So like, you know, like what is one thing that you think is important? For a new hiker backpacker?
Well, I mean, obviously know how to read a map. That's day one stuff. If you're going to go in the woods, know where you're going.
Yeah.
But to take that a bit further, I think, and maybe it's just me because I love maps, but study that map that you're going to go on this hike. Study that map before you leave the house. You're leaving, you're going on your trip. I know they're going to leave from this trailhead. We're going to go 2 miles this way, and then we're going to take a hard right at this canyon. You know, you should be able to see the map in your head.
Yeah.
You know, with any luck, you'll never even have to pull that paper map out of your pack. Right. Because you've studied that map so much, you know what's coming up, you know what to expect. That's what I would say.
Yeah, you're going to know.
Knowledge doesn't weigh anything.
Not at all. And, you know, to know I'm going to cross 3 roads before for my end, then, you know, like, you know, oh, I've only crossed one. So theoretically, this is where I'm at. Like,
I should be in this area. Yeah.
Yeah. That is so important. Spending 30 minutes or so to understand what you're about to take part in.
Yeah. If it's something like the Lone Star or any, you know, a state park trail, grab that map at the visitor center. Okay, I'm going to do trail XYZ. Okay, I'm going to go left, right, left, right. Okay, and that'll bring me back to here. Just, you know, study that. Even if it's just on that little bit of a drive from the visitor center to the trailhead. Have something in your head that you can fall back on. Well, wait a minute, I thought we were going to turn right. Yeah. Why did we turn left?
No, I think you nailed that one. That's and there's so many stories of people not doing that, getting lost, and you know, their bodies are found 3 or 4 years later.
Jason, I saw a guy get lost on the Guadalupe Peak Trail.
How?
Exactly. I didn't think it was possible. When Cameron and I were finishing the GRT, we had summited the peak. We had had our celebratory pictures and, you know, let out a big hell yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
We're walking down those switchbacks at the very top of the mountain.
Right.
And we come around a corner and there's a guy sitting on a rock 15 feet off trail. Dude, what are you okay? Is everything all right? Well, I lost the trail. Well, I'm standing on the trail, dude. The trail's right here. Well, my friends are on their way up. How did you even get over there? You know, be familiar with what you're hiking.
Yeah.
I mean, in this guy's case, you're hiking the tallest peak in Texas. How are you getting lost when you know that all you've got to do is go up?
Yeah, and probably that comes into a lot of, like, are you in any kind of shape? Because, you know, when you start getting tired, you're just like, oh. Mm. So, like, you know, kind of all that stuff starts to come in. But, yeah, but I don't know how that would be interesting to ask, like, okay, before you were sitting down, what happened?
Yeah, exactly. How did you get to this point, dude?
Yeah.
Because you're, quote unquote, lost, and you're 15 feet from the trail. So, things happen. Things happen. Mm. You know, I don't know if old boy was just scared of heights.
Yeah.
Or he got away from his friends and he didn't want to be there by himself. But, yeah, he was lost on the Guadalupe Peak Trail.
Wow.
The most heavily trafficked trail in the park.
Yeah. I've even seen people get lost. Like, I'm hiking on the Lone Star Hiking Trail, and they're like, oh, I got to use the restroom. So they kind of walk off. And I'm just sitting there waiting. And then I'm like, okay. And I start looking and I can see them. They're walking
like, the wrong way.
And I'm like, hey, wait, where are you going? And yeah, so. And if they, you know, if they would have had the map or the download or just been observant. You know,
I mean, if you're uncomfortable, leave your pack sitting on the trail. And when you walk off the trail to use the bathroom, okay. I can still see my pack.
Right.
You know, I know that's the way to go.
And that's what I do. I used to kind of like, I'd point my trekking poles in the direction of the trail until I got to the point where, like, okay, I didn't have trekking poles and I didn't even think. So now I just point my body. I know I'm exiting the trail this way. When I have to use restroom, I just turn and face the trail. Yeah. And I'm always going to have my body. I may not all, you know, so I'm trying to develop habits that aren't dependent on this or that. And it's worked out so far, but.
And what's the worst that happens? Somebody sees you pooping in the woods.
Yeah. I mean that happens. It, I've run into Henning using the restroom so many times, you know, at Guad that it's just whatever, like, all right, sorry. All right. Well, that about wraps it up. You know, this has been an awesome episode.
This has really been fun. I wasn't nearly as nervous as I thought I'd be.
Yeah, I know. I think this episode, I've really enjoyed it. I didn't think that I wouldn't enjoy it, but it's turned out really, really, really nice. And I want to thank you for taking the time out of your Sunday to join and give to the community like you have. And no, I greatly, greatly appreciate it. And we definitely, like we talked about, have to get everybody on a podcast. Because I think through this software, I can have up to 10 guests. And
bro, that'd be great.
Yeah. So we'll definitely work on that.
But yeah, thanks for having me. This has been, and thanks for doing the podcast. The community needs something like this.
Yeah, it's you know, like we talked about before, you know, I'm trying to drop an episode every other Monday. I don't know if I'll ever, you know, where it's every week, but you know, I enjoy it. And I think that's the main thing. It gives me an outlet to talk about hiking and backpacking. Cause most of the time when I start talking about it, people are like, oh, you know, like here the non-hiker, but yeah, here he goes again. But no, Todd, thank you so much. What was go ahead and tell everybody the best Guadalupe Facebook page ever.
I think it's facebook.com/guadhikers.
Yeah. So it's, give me one. I had it up a second ago. Guadalupe Mountain Backpacker or Backcountry Hikers.
Yeah.
You have any questions about Guadalupe Mountains, Lincoln National Forest, or,
I can't wait to get you up into Lincoln. It's going to blow your mind.
I just booked my Guad trip for October, no plans. And I have another one in February. So,
all right,
sir. Well, again, thank you so much. And I've truly enjoyed it.
All right. Thanks again for having me.
And that wraps up another exciting episode of the Trailblazing Texas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode today and stay tuned for our next episode and guarantee to uncover many more hiking gems and share many more tips to enhance your experience on the trail. Until then, happy trails and happy hiking.